Was it good? Was it too much? Was it not enough? Would you like to see more? There's a perfect amount of homework. That's really good to know. And then I guess the other thing is, like, basically this week, obviously the homework, you should do them, but also make sure that we're going to be talking about a midterm. So I think it, on the order of priorities, you should kind of, you know, work up your midterm. I'll tell you what it's about. And so basically for this class, the main thing is having a midterm and the final, right? And the final is a little bit more open-ended, so the midterm is very specific. Okay, so today, I'm going to be talking about conditionals. So first, just recapping what we did last time, we talked about processing, we talked about how to get up in the morning, make, you know, smoothies and salads and eggs, and put on makeup to go out. And then today we're kind of beginning one of the core elements of programming, which is conditionals. So conditionals are kind of the grammar that you're going to be working with. You know, so if we're learning Spanish, this is like the equivalent of, like, you know, imperatives or something. You know. So, yeah, and then we're going to list all those things. They're kind of, to be honest, it's pretty obvious. So today's kind of a bit of a catch-up day, too, for everybody. And then, oh, the other thing I want to say, though, but is that I know, like, all of you are very kind of participatory and doing really well. And I just want to, like, say, like, if you, you know, for those of you who feel like it's going a little fast or things that you don't understand in any way, just, like, please try to speak up and stop us. The other thing is, I do not mind everybody, like, going for help and also helping other people. That's, like, a very healthy thing to be doing in the boot camp. But the boot camp instructors, especially code, also the code people, they kind of tell me to relate to you guys that when you're either helping people or getting help, just make sure you're very participatory. So in other words, if you're helping someone, you know, like, make them write the code. Like, make them come up with the thing to do. Like, help them by telling, oh, yeah, you can try this function, or, like, Ray told me that you can do this. You know, they can come to me, that fires, right? But just make sure it's participatory so that they can actually write the code for themselves. And similarly, if you're getting help from someone else, just make sure you're the one kind of doing the understanding and not just kind of copying what they're doing or having them write your code for you. You know, that's kind of not, you know, great practice for your future. So anyway, that's what the code people have me pass on as a message. And hopefully for all of you, it'll be fine, you know. Because we're all here to help. So, any questions on that? Any comments? Okay, cool. All right, so we all know that, you know, I'm going to kind of go fast in the recap because we've been going a little slow. So I want to just emphasize the idea of pseudocoding. So writing down a story of what is going on before you actually writing the code. So this is like, just to kind of get you guys thinking, this is like compiling in a way. So when people say compiling, that means you wrote your code and you translate that to a language that the machine understands, right? So that the machine can execute it, right? So before you compile, this is the pseudocode. It's for you to kind of compile your ideas in a way. So think of it as just kind of writing a story for your code. So making that understandable is almost as important as making the code understandable. Because if someone understands your pseudocode, you don't actually need, you know, very explicit instructions. You know, so it's very important. And then the setup and draw function, can anybody tell me what's the difference between the setup and the draw? Elena?
Setup is executed at the beginning once.
Yeah, exactly. So that's kind of processing in a nutshell also. So great. I'm going to go a little fast on this. So we kind of did some of this, so I'm going to kind of just allow our organic thing to happen for this part. So we're going to use like color variables to change, you know, the way things are displayed. I guess we can do a real quick one. So we can do it based on our last time. So basically the idea of that exercise was to come up with a way of varying colors in any way we want, right? So I am going to actually ask you guys to help me with this code, okay? So live code for, you know, DT 2020. You guys, 2020? Okay. So if I want to say, so this is the exercise prompt. If I want to kind of paint circles, you know, bubbles or circles, with different colors, what would I do? And first I just want different colors. Then we can go in and look at variable colors and, you know, stuff like that. So what would I do in this code? So let me remind you what we have in the day one demo. I have these very creepy eyes that's looking at you. So give me a way of varying the color for these circles. What should I do? Anyone, John?
You can change the RGB values in the color line website.
Okay, so just give me a nice color. So I should change these numbers, is that right? Okay, and then this will make the color, the circles green, is that right? Okay, so let's see. Nice, even more creepy now. What if I want the two circles to have different colors? What do I do? Brandy?
You can make another variable color and just name it color 1 or 2 or whatever.
Okay, so. So I'm going to slow down so people who are following can, you know, finish typing. But if you are following, then what you can do is you can just color and paste. Every color and paste. Freudian slip. Copy and paste, right? So you do something like that, you do a control C or control X, and then you get it here, and then you do control V. Okay, so anybody have something like this right now? Can we all see, by the way? Do I need to zoom in? Or I don't need to zoom in.
Yeah.
You want to zoom in? Do you want to sit here? Kind of depends. Like some people can see, but
is there an outlet over
there? There is. Yeah, there's an outlet here. There's an outlet here. Yeah, that's totally fine. There's actually another. There's two more outlets here. So, and you can also sit here if it's better for you. But it's better if I zoomed in then. It's just a little bit harder to work with. But. Okay, so now you can kind of see, I guess, right? You can see. No problem. Okay. So I just did that. I did Control C and then Control V. And then so Brandy was telling me just change a different variable name, right? And then, what else do I, anything else I need to do here? Okay. So something like that. Okay. And then what do I do? Right here? Okay, so what you're saying is something like this, right?
Yeah, and then assign.
Yeah. I'll get rid of this for now. Is that good? Does everybody understand?
Under it?
So you're telling me to put this one here, right? Here,
yeah,
let me.
Yeah, and then that one below the other.
So you're saying like this? Like that? Okay. Okay. So in this case, what color is the left circle in this case?
I think it would work out. I mean, I need to be devil's advocate, but I feel like the first way would work.
Okay.
The field color on top of it. But I could be wrong about it. Or maybe it won't be different.
Well, let's see if it makes a difference, huh? Okay, we're going to do it this way, and then we're going to go back and do what we did before. Okay, so. I have to get out of the. So this is what it looks like right now. The new color on the left. Okay? The new color on the left. This is a memorization game. Okay, so now I'm going to go back to Brandy's idea, which is something like this, I believe, right? Okay, so now, how many people think it's going to be yellow on the left? How many people think it's green on the left? That's why it's a memory game. Not going to play it again.
Green on the left.
Green on the left. Okay, let's see what it is. It is green on the left.
Oh, it's a book. I don't know, but it's a book, yeah. Are they flipped?
Well, they both work, but they do different things, right? So, when you say fill, you're changing the state of the program. When you say fill color one, that means this. So we're going to comment everything, okay? So.
Green.
Great call. Green, right? So color one is green, okay? So when you change the state of the fill, it went from white to green, basically. That's really what it did. Okay, so if you're good coders, you have to do this, right? I mean, you know, I was going to use the excuse that, oh, we're in class, and we don't, you know what, forget it. We're going to do everything properly, and you're going to comment everything, even in class, okay? So, this tells me that it's going to be green here, and so when you draw the circle on the left, it's green. Right? And then when you change the fill color to yellow, which is what this guy is, why is it yellow? Can anybody tell me why it's yellow?
Obviously, the way you are doing the color, it's kind of disrupts what I think of the color.
Yeah.
It's like adding, if you were to add red and green together, you would make yellow. But like, when you add it, it's colored yellow.
Yeah. So these numbers are kind of giving you different combinations of colors. So this is the same as like Photoshop, right? When you're putting different numbers for your RGB, you get a different color. Is anybody confused about that part of it, by the way? Are we all good? It's all good? Yeah. So this is yellow because you got the green and the red, right? You mix it together, add the colors, they're yellow. Right, they're not subtractive colors. Anyways, so well, I mean, what would happen if I put another 255 on this last part? What would that do? Right. Do you want to explain to everybody why is it white? White? Why does it?
Like, when all of it, at 255, if the red and green and blue is all assigned to 255 is white, so that's the code for the tag for.
Yeah, exactly. So because all the mixture components are full, so you're showing all the colors equally well, so it's going to be white. Yeah. So now it's going to be, change all my comments, right, to white. Okay. So anyway, so this is the basic idea of changing the color of the circle. But what if I want to say, like, I don't know, like change the color as I'm moving down? Because these circles are going down, right? So can't I change the color as they're going down? How would I do that? Doesn't have to be perfect colors right now, but give me an idea of how I would do that.
For example, to
Okay, right. Just use X and Y. So use Y, basically, because we're only moving Y right now. Okay, so what would I do? Like, so do I need to change something here? What would I... You can just pseudocode. You don't need to... You know, what's a good pseudocode for this? Anybody? Well, we haven't done conditionals, but it's fine. It's fine. We can do that. If y is greater than 200, yeah. So just change the color.
Yeah, then I guess color would equal
You mean you're talking about something like this, like or something like that, right? Kinda. Okay. So let me just reset everything first. So first I'm just gonna say both of the colors are just gonna be, you know, let's do red because you kind of go from red to green when you're. I'm gonna get rid of this comment for now because you know, we don't need it. But I'm going to do red for this one. Tell me if I'm doing too fast, okay? You guys. So, and I'm going to go back to green on this one, okay? Just because these are kind of, you know, traffic lights. Somebody did traffic lights for this homework, as I remember. That's not traffic light. Alright, so we know 1 and 2 are red and green, okay? In fact, you know, we should just do this, you know, just to make code look better, right? Actually, I'm sorry, let's keep it there. Okay, never mind, let's do that. To make the code, okay. You know what? Sorry guys, I just realized what I need to do, so. Okay, so we're going to keep 1 right now is red, 2 right now is green, right? Just to keep everything simple. And then what happens in this if statement is that we're going to make the color 1 to be a new color, right? And actually the new color is just blue, right? And so what happens now? When the y is greater than 200, what happens? It should just turn blue. So where is 200 on the, you know, it's okay. So where are we on the 200 though? Mm-hmm. Well, but the thing is we start at 200 though. You see that? So if you want to see a difference, what does this number have to be? I hear a lot of different numbers. But some other number, right? Okay, let's say 400, say, okay? So let's see what this is doing. Okay.
You need to find the x of 200. You need to find the x of 200, so that's when it starts, right? You think that's just...
Yes. We put x, y as starting at 200. And then stop.
So when you find the values for the integers, they set up always, right? So always set up. Or actually, we can change it in draw.
Yeah, we are changing the y values in draw, right?
But we set it, the initial one always in
the
setup?
In the setup, yeah. Right. So, I'm sorry if it's, like, difficult, but we haven't gotten to the if stuff yet, okay? So for those of you who are confused about ifs or whatever, you don't have to worry about it yet. But what you can at least look from the pseudocode end, okay? So everybody look at this thing. When it gets to 400, it becomes blue, okay? So it basically changes the color in the middle of this thing. What if I don't want to use an if statement? What if I just want to change color somehow without using the if statement? Yeah, Elena?
Can you set one of the numbers in the color to Y or some other variable?
Very cool, very cool. So give me, like, what should I write here?
Yes, you can just write instead of...
So I'll start with red, okay?
Yeah, and then we transform it into yellow, let's say. So like in the middle section, you can just write Y.
Y.
And it'll like slowly increase to yellow from that.
Cool. Does everybody get the logic of the pseudocode? Does anybody lost right now?
I'm lost in what this is, but other than that, I'm really...
Okay, so let me try to explain what Elena was explaining, okay? I asked if there's a way to change the color without using the if, because we haven't done the conditional thing yet, right? So in this sketch, this is everything that we can still do from yesterday, okay? So if you want to change the color, Elena just says basically, well, what if you just use the Y value? Because your Y value is changing, right? You want to change the color? You know Y is already changing. So why not use your Y in the function that you're drawing with? So we just made something up. We were just like, why the heck not, you know? Why don't we just change the G? Right? That's the middle term, right? So the idea is that the circle is going to start red, because initially, actually it's not going to start red. It's going to start yellow, because initially Y is 200. So let me make everything very easy and just kind of, okay, this is just to kind of illustrate a little bit better, okay? So I'm going to start the Y at 0. So right now it starts red, right? But as you're moving down, what's going to happen? Like, what will happen to the Y value? Yeah. So what's Y happening, though? Y is... So it starts at 0, and then... Actually, let's start at 1. That's okay, 2. Yeah. So it starts at 0, right? And then it goes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, until what? Actually, it will go forever, because none of the code stopped it from, you see what I'm saying?
Oh, that's doing it else?
Huh?
Else?
We could, but we're not doing it else at all right now. Yeah, we could.
Can you
That was too confusing for people, so I'm going to say no ifs for now.
So what happened when the Y in the front space becomes more than 2?
Yeah, I don't know. What's going to happen? There's two possibilities, right? One, the color will say it's not a valid color, and it will stop the program. Two, and this is what I suspect will happen, processing will ignore that and just give a reasonable number. So in other words, it'll probably just give them 255. So in other words, after a certain point, it'll just keep being that color. So we can test that, but first I wanted to make sure you guys know what's going on. It's just changing the Y value. You know the Y value is changing, so why don't you just change the color with the Y, right? So, no questions? Y'all eagerly, I see these faces, they're just, oh my God. Right?
Did you remove the if for me?
The if was just a suggestion that I wanted to, you know, allow you guys to try, but we haven't done if yet, so.
Oh,
I remove the if, yeah. Yeah. Okay, here we go. So it starts red. And look at that. Whoa. And look, it doesn't change color after a while. It just stays yellow. Yeah. Okay, I sense questions over here. Is it? Yeah.
So C color 1 equals color 2, 50, 50. What's the Y mean? I thought X and Y means the location.
Yeah.
The window, but Y with the number that actually represents the color.
Yeah, great question. So first of all, this statement right here is kind of overtaken all these statements, right? I mean, in this case, it doesn't matter because this guy's not being used, so you know, you don't need that, right?
So you basically just change the color that was already set up previously in your.
Yeah. So let me answer her question first, okay? So here, I'm gonna simplify everything for you, okay? So what is going on here, Zihan? Is basically we're saying there's a color variable that we can now change, okay? So I declare it here. So this is just a color variable. Okay, so this is a color that you can change now over time. Okay, so what is Y happening? X and Y are the position of the circle, right? So the two circles, basically their X is kind of set up. So the X never changes. They're always at 200 and 200 plus 300. Okay, so let me just write it a little bit more clearly. Well, I think this is kind of clear already. So anyway, so X is 200, right? And X plus 300 is what? 500. So that never changes, right? Because in the code, X never changes. But Y does change, right? Y, we're going to start at 0, okay? So that's X 200 and 500. Yeah. Do you want me to show it on the board, maybe? Okay. These are really good issues. No. You would think that, but you know, everybody's confused to some extent. Maybe. What's the difference? Is this a quiz?
And then the next thing, the number two thing it does is then y equals y plus 1, right? So in other words, the first time through this program, y equals 0. And then the next time it calls draw, y equals 1. And then the next time it calls this thing, y is 2. And then 3, and then 4, and then 5, right? So every time it calls draw, that y is increased by 1. Now what we're doing here is that you notice the color. The color is essentially 255, which is the red component. Y, which is actually changing, and 0. Okay? So 255 is going to be always red. So when the first time you're going through this program, y equals 0. So what is color? Color is going to be what? The first time through this program.
Zero.
Right, so the first time. So that's the most important thing. At the very beginning of this, the color is like this, right? Everybody agreed the color is like this. And then this circle is here. This circle is here. Obviously, when you're drawing at 0, it just doesn't draw this. It just, you know, draw half. Okay, so what color is this? This circle? And this circle? Yeah, because I only call it field once, so both of the circles are the same color, right? So that's the first time through the program. Second time through the program, what's y going to be? Second time through the program. Yeah, second time is going to be 1, 1, right? And what's the color going to be?
Yeah.
So the color, second time through the program, will be slightly, tiny bit more green than before. Right? And the position of these guys will be slightly more down than before. Right? Now you imagine you keep looping, right? So you keep looping over and over, this y is going to increase. And the bigger that number becomes, the bigger this number becomes, right? But what happens when this big number becomes bigger? Well, it's going to become more and more green. And in the limit, because it can only go up to 255, the highest it can go basically is 255. Okay? And so when it gets to 255, 255, 0, what color is that? It's going to be red and green together, which is yellow. And then from yellow on, the number is still increasing, but the processing just treats it like it's 255. That's all. So I think that's the only kind of tricky part that it's doing. So that means when you get to corner 255, the color just stays this, which is yellow. And then it'll just keep become yellow throughout. I guess the big the global message though is the big idea of it is Elena's idea that you can just use this Y number in the color. That's kind of an ingenious point, right?
It's just a number.
Exactly. Yeah. So you guys can play around with any ways of changing things. Like you want to change the color, you want to change the position in interesting ways. Just remember that you can change the number and then use that in different parts of the program, different functions. Put them into different parts of the function. Right? And you don't even have to do this, right? You can do something minus that, right? You can do 255 minus 5. What do you think would happen? Do that instead of y up here. Exactly. Is it? People understand that. I know some people understand, but so if I do 255 minus y instead of y, it's going to start at 255 minus 0, which is yellow, and then this number gets bigger and bigger. So this 255 minus y gets smaller and smaller. Until it becomes 255.00, at which point it's going to be red. Right? So you can try that in your code. In fact, I want to see you guys writing that in your code so that I know you're understanding. Oh, you're already right. And then once you write it, just go ahead and execute it. So what is going on right now? It's yellow. Exactly. So do you understand what's going on here?
Yeah.
Exactly. So basically, to answer your question, when it goes below zero, it can choose a zero. But of course, this is not the best way to actually write the code. You know, like, to write the code, you really want to be, you know, so the proper way to do this is to actually use your width and height to adjust it so that, okay, let me, actually, I think that's a little bit complicated. So I think I'll talk about this, you know, in off, you know, where I'm not off the workshop thing, whatever. But the proper way to write it for those of you who are more advanced is you use your width and height, scale your 255 to that, and you subtract that number. Because then the numbers always have these between 0 and 255. It's not clear to talk about data. Then I'm confused. I don't want to confuse people who are making great effort. So everybody's seen this, right? Everybody's seen the red to yellow transition. Yeah. Okay. So everybody got that? I want you to spend about 10 minutes right now to go from green. Okay, so you're starting from, you're starting from green. From green to blue. So the same thing, but from green to blue. And if that's hard, you're allowed to go from green to cyan. It's okay. Okay, you can start from green to cyan.
So it starts off green, it will start off green and
then cyan. And then at about 255 or so, it becomes, you know, let's say cyan. That's an easier one. But if you're able to do blue, you can do blue too. Okay? So either green to blue or green to cyan.
Can
you
even define the color, or is it possible for us to just add value? Like instead of...
Yeah, you can do that, but that's not a smooth transition. You can do that though. Okay. Yeah. I mean, you can at least try that. And actually, for this exercise, you're allowed to do that too. Because that's also a
blue
to green transition. So, yeah, you can do that. Oh, I like it. That's good.
Boy, I'm spending a lot of time on this, but I think it's kind of fun.
Yeah, Jared didn't wear pants. Good job. But it's so cool to see there's so many friends doing things like that. No, that one's blue. So you're going like cyan to blue. It's, you know, it's just a different thing, but it's good. She's got the wire. So you're doing major dialogue, yeah? That's good. That's good.
Why?
Huh?
You can try to do blue. You can try to do major blue if you want.
Yeah.
But you did it right. You didn't decide. Yeah. It's just like what you put inside the color thing. Like whether you want to put Y or 255 or 255 minus Y or 0.
Oh, no, but I'm talking about the objects that are the way it's moving inside the program.
Yeah.
How you code
is just like. It's math, yeah. It's just a form. Yeah, it's just like high school geometry, except instead of going like up, you're going down, yeah.
So, are we
going to
go into
our
next project?
Yeah, you can do, I mean, we'll show you your project.
It's like
7 to 8
years.
We're that long? I don't believe you. Okay. So everybody got like something that changes some sort of color from kind of greenish to bluish? Anybody want to explain? Zihan, do you want to explain how you go from green to blue?
So the basic color...
So just tell me what's the code. Yeah.
So on the color line, we're going to change...
This one, right?
To, yes. We're going to change to 0 YY. So it's from green to cyan.
Wait, what do you want me to do?
0YY.
0YY? Like this, right?
Change the basic color to green, which is on the top.
So, you want me to do this, right?
Yes.
So tell me if this is...
Color is
going
to be 0, 2, 5, 5, 0.
Okay. And then, here, you want to do...
That would be... from green to cyan. If it's from green to blue, that would be like 255 minus Y.
Okay. So this is Y right here, or?
Yes, Y.
Okay.
It would be fine, Y.
Okay. No, that's fine. Let's try it. Okay. Let's see. I don't see the green.
Oh, sorry. So the basic color should be 0, 0. Wait. I don't know if it's then just change the 0 YY to 0, 2, 5, 5 minus 1.
There you go. Okay. So why does that work? Anyway?
Because the top one is green. And then the 255 minus 1, I mean, exchanging from green to, like, the green part is getting smaller and smaller.
Yeah, exactly. So just work out the cases. When your Y is 0, you're doing 02550, right? That's green. And then you, Y gets bigger and bigger until Y becomes like something like 255, at which point it will be 00255. That's blue. So exactly what she said, it starts with green, it becomes cyan, and it then becomes blue. So, perfect. Great job. Great work. And then I noticed some people got even more amazing stuff, like changing in the middle of it to become blue all of a sudden, which is fine too, which is good. But everybody kind of has some version of this, right? You can also change it to cyan. How do I change it to cyan? Anybody? Oh, by the way, cyan just means it's like kind of blue and red, kind of. Yeah, I don't know how to explain it, but. So kind of a. So you start with red and then you become cyan. Does anybody? I think some of you started with that. No. Oh, okay. Well, how did you do that then?
I just put the set up the color as green from the beginning.
Okay.
And inside the draw function, you do the fill color 0255.
Cool. So again, work it out. Initially Y is 0, so it's green, right? Because it's 02550. And then Y becomes bigger and bigger until finally it becomes 02552255, which is cyan, right? Because it's green and red together. Exactly. Perfect. So you see it now? It becomes slowly more and more cyan. It becomes cyan. Great. Cool. So everybody knows now kind of how to change the color based on things like position, right? Based on like X and Y. I'll go back to this one. That's not this one. Okay. Cool. So that's the live coding. Anybody have questions about this? Seems like everybody's good. We're all good? All right. Alright, so next part, I want you guys to show me the kind of links that you guys came up with. So why don't you bring up your Slack. So I just want to make sure everybody can do this like once. So go to Slack and then make sure everybody can... thanks, Aliza. That's fine. And you guys can like do things like this, like just use the Slack. Ask me, ask other people, ask each other. Can use it for social means as well. When is code breakfast? Yeah, whatever. and then it doesn't matter who starts or what, just start posting the link. In this exercise, I'll just give you one link. Just bring the one link that you're kind of most proud of or whatever, of like the artist or designer that you found engaging or interested. So just go ahead and copy that link and put them in there. So like for example, I'm gonna do one. Okay, I'll start it off with this guy. This is my link. And in fact, as you're doing that, I'll show you this guy, which you will be hopefully amazed. Okay, there you go. And this is all code, guys. It's all code. Nothing but code. One of their sound, but we'll see. So this is all physical, by the way. The language is using actually is some of it is open frameworks, which is very related to processing. It's just a kind of a slightly different way of doing processing using C and C++. And then motion graphics. Yeah, it's screens. Yeah. Yeah.
Screen, so depending on where is it in axis of the screen?
Yeah, it's projecting the right thing based on the position of this box. So if you notice, this guy, very simple stuff. It's just a box. Like, the name of this show is just box. But look at all the stuff that you can do with a box.
Wow. So, wait, is the box a reality 3D, or did you just make it look exactly like
it? It just makes it look like it. It's not, yeah. Yeah, yeah. So basically Unity and C Sharp, and then he's got the projection through going through OpenPrintless. Yeah. Yeah. So I want you guys to get inspired, and maybe your final piece of show will be just as amazing.
So is this all like pre-programmed, or does this detect what's going on and then there's something based on it?
I mean, you know, certain elements are pre-programmed in some sense, but the way that it's moving and changing the view, that is not, you can't pre-program that because you don't know how far this guy's going to move it exactly, right? So some of it is choreographed, but it's, you know, the technology has to make it possible in order for the choreography to occur. Yeah. So he's got a robot arm that's moving it. And so this is a lot of, like, motion graphics and Unity. So if you guys want to do Unity, I hope I didn't just, like, fill up the Unity class with, like, 2 days of... Oh, really? Good, good. Yeah, make the wait list full, too. Okay, anyways, this will go on forever. So I want to now see what you guys came up with. So show me some stuff. Okay. Hopefully we have time to at least look at all of them. So we'll start with Ashley's thing first. Okay. What do you want? Is there?
This guy was supposed to say all this stuff, but especially if you want to see the one that's similar to what we just watched, go down and there will be a Pikachu on the right.
This one?
No, on top.
This one? Okay, let's see. Oh man, I love to see stuff that people are interested in. Oh, I don't know how to do food. Oh, there it is.
Sorry, before we start,
you need
more than
like, oh, here's someone.
Oh, there's
a So he's got this. Should I keep going or? I mean, should I go farther or?
Yeah, farther.
Like.
In the middle of it.
In the middle?
Yeah.
Okay. A little bit more. So what is going on here? It's this is processing, I think, right? So right now he's actually moving around, and the camera figures out where he is, and it's painting something based on.
Those are just like flat screen, but it's doing the graphics inside a flat screen, just like the one
that showed us. Oh, so it's kind of like position based. Oh, there you go. So that's a fake graphic, but it's based on the position of his arm, and actually it's based on the force too, I guess, right?
Not this part, but the graphic, I think it has it already.
Right here?
From there.
Oh, okay.
He coded that to be presented in
Oh. Very cool. So right up the alley of like using physical computing, like position sensing, computer vision, and then motion graphics. Kind of. Cool. Very cool. Okay, I'll move on to the next one. Very nice. Nice job.
It's not technologically
advanced
in the same kind of way, but
yeah,
it's like one of my favorites.
It's called Totally Fucked.
He like appropriates a lot of games specifically, and like it for this he like action rolls for Mario Bros. So that you're just Mario getting the sea of blue on the side of Mario. It was like a new museum like 2 years ago, I think.
Oh. It's an infinite loop of Mario. Can I actually run this?
Or? I don't know if I can run, but...
Totally Fucked. I love how like we should be self-censoring ourselves doing this class. Totally Beep. Totally Beep.
I think it's called Totally Screwed.
Totally Screwed.
I'll show you guys.
But basically when you run it, this is what it happens, right?
Yeah.
Like, you're like... You're like, oh shit, like, yeah. Where am I gonna go? I mean, the sucky thing is it's the fire Mario, too. If they just have, like, you know, a cape. Yeah. Cool, very cool. This is, like, very subversive stuff. Yeah. Okay, and then Fifi, you want to explain?
Yeah, so I actually have the pleasure to go to school with them. So he probably uses this code that if you go to the very bottom, there's like a just demo that it'll take,
this
one? Yeah, so pick out every color of every frame from the movie and then create the article. So on top of that, like there's a whole ton of, that came out from different movies, like,
So this color on the right is the background color? I am mesmerized. Like, if I just keep watching this movie over and over.
That one scene.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Color. So you're kind of visualizing the film's color as it kind of, This is really cool. There's a lot of work in interactive film stuff. So, like, for example, you can change which film stream comes to you as you're watching it, depending on your state or depending on your movement. So it's a very vibrant, area to go.
You go to the one before.
Which one?
Mad Max.
Oh, I see. Huh.
So that like reduces all those like frames of colors.
It looks like it's the street, the sequence. So over the time of the movie, you're kind of seeing the sequence. You see that? So Star Wars initially, like, you know, you're on a planet, and then like, you know, now you're on the Tatooine or something, and then people get into fights, and there's a lot of blood, and then, you know. So I think that's lightsaber.
I love Finding Nemo. It's basically the color
of
the
story. Yeah. Very cool, very cool. I love the name of this too. It's very cool. Thank you very much. So, are we doing... I think we can't do two, I think. This is Ashley again, I think. So, yeah. Do you want to briefly tell us about...
I don't know if you need an artist, but I can do show the image,
And in the middle of this.
You want me to go to the middle?
Yeah.
Go to the middle? Okay. Wait, how is it using genetic algorithm? That's what I want to know. That's really fancy. I'm guessing that's the way of like training this neural network. I think that's what's.
Can you
Wow. Like you have a self scan version of this? Yeah. Yeah, very cool. That's so, I mean, I never knew this existed, so you're like blowing my mind. So cool. Brandy?
Actually, I don't know if I'll probably show that one when I
collect. We have a lot of, okay. What do you want me to show?
Show little interviews, like. You know,
show.
Oh, go down here.
Just keep going?
Just keep going.
Oh, okay, we'll skip you for now, we come back to you. Okay, so this is Ashley again. You posted like... Oh, okay. This one? Okay, okay, alright. This one? Okay, we'll give you just a short time though. Okay. Where?
Like you have to
watch the whole thing. You could be like,
okay. But it's synchronized with me. So it's just visualization.
Do you know how they did this? Wow. It's very trippy. This is like.
And the very first 30 seconds
is the same part that's like
the visualization. But if you skip a little bit, and then it will change to
the full
of the vision. Do you want me to go somewhere? Oh, okay, right. No, yeah. Right there.
Whoa.
And also the particles that are being created.
I'm waiting for this final project from you, Ashley. Just couldn't stop watching, right?
Yeah.
Wow, very cool. They're doing some face type stuff too, so you need a model of the face as well. Is this K-pop? No? Okay, I'm just curious. Okay, very cool. Sorry we have to cut it off, but... Yeah, sorry I had to cut it off, but it's very cool. So then, Zena's next, I guess. Yeah?
So I actually went to like a design platform and I met this guy. And I just saw the stuff and I thought they were amazing. And he told me that actually code could be created to visualize sounds and videos.
Should I go somewhere?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Is there sound?
Yeah, there is sound.
Wait, at this room?
Amazing.
Oh, okay. Hey, look, it just became bright. Whoa! Oh, that didn't work. Ah, so it's generating this landscape based on where they were. Very cool. I see. I love how you like just met this. You're like, oh, I just met this person. And
yeah.
Very cool.
I
Very cool. Oh, it must be John. It's John, right?
Yeah.
So what's going on here, John? What's going on here, John?
So, yeah, we'll start in a second. He does like projection mapping on his face. And he's like drawing on the face in real time.
Whoa. So,
but then,
yeah.
Somebody's doing it, and then
So basically, it's constructing a model. It's not just constructing the face. Like, it's building kind of a 3D, you know, pinball, whatever, container. Yeah, very cool.
That guy's cool because he, like, just picks up every single thing he does. So, like, that's just, like, him in his house, messing around. And he has, like, thousands of videos like that.
Super cool. Yeah, I mean, this is the kind of stuff you're going to be able to get to, for sure. Like, okay, so what...
I'm just opening the
bank. Wait, what I want to do, I'm going to use X and Z. Okay. Oh, shit, I just died.
Yeah, I'm shooting, like...
Whoa, shit, I got killed. So, are you a game person?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, that's enough. So, tell me about, is this like in a web? They're using JavaScript or?
No, I think it's
processing. Oh, okay. What do you want to see?
Like, there's a bracket or the in the middle of it on top of it.
This thing?
No, the one next to it.
This one. Oh, okay. Oh. Very cool. Processing. Yeah. Well, it's very kind of, you know, like, you know, one thing is like, the good code is always like concise. Like, if you see concise code, that means somebody's documented it well. Yeah, so, yeah, that's really cool. I mean, they're using some different libraries, but still. Very cool. All right, we have a game person here. So, is this the one, Brandy?
Yeah, it's a more playful.
Yeah, okay.
So, this is made out of WebGL, which is like, you know, made in JavaScript and Cinema 40.
You want to work at Ueno, so that's in Japan. Okay. Whoa. I'm the hot dog? How do I move the hot dog?
I don't remember. I think you click on like
someone.
Yeah, click on the first
thing. Oh, this guy.
I'm the daddy. Like, where she's getting.
It's
like stupid questions.
What should I say, guys? What do you want me to say?
Also,
huh?
Can
you see this?
Say what?
What? Why are we here again? Yeah, let's do the interview. I'm here for the interview, guys. Here. Okay. Talk to the big boss. Who's the big boss?
You just go around talking about the whole team.
I can't go there, yeah. These are the possible people. Cool. So this whole thing is web. WebG. Would you say WebGL?
Yeah.
Very cool. Okay, this is the last person I'm doing. Let's see. Not really hot dog. I'm a human being. Fair enough. Okay, I'm here for the interview. I love people. Because I love your rude tweets. Very cool. I mean, this is like so much detail for. Yeah. Great aesthetic. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Cool, Alisa.
actually sure what falls in what category. This is just a project that...
It's fine.
Oh, okay. This is a project that I saw, I think, I came across 2 years ago, and it was pretty cool. You have to go down, there's no video, but it shows in pictures, like, there are sort of smart objects. So, for example, one of them detects, like, for example, that one is moving to your party.
This one.
This one, yeah. So it's a mirror that's installed and it like reflects your heartbeat by sensing it somehow. I think that was the first part of it. And then there was a paintbrush, I think, if you go down. Yeah, this is the same one. And then, so there's, this is the second object, which basically you paint with sound. So that's sort of is incorporated into the brush.
Hmm.
And I'm not sure how they did it, but... And then the last one was that I think, if you scroll down further... Yeah, more. So this is the paintbrush.
The paintbrush.
And then, thought music. Mm-hmm. So like when you put on the headset, it plays music that corresponds with your behavior. If you're really nervous, it's going to scream.
So in boot camp last year, me and Pratik also did this.
Oh.
So we used the MindFlex, you know, basically reads EEG, and then the EEG, the signal's kind of maybe probably not as good as theirs,
yeah.
But you can actually like kind of normalize it, smooth it out, and then you can sort of come up with melodies generated that kind of make sense. Yeah, these kind of technologies are like. It's all. It sounds like science fiction. It's like, oh, come on, like EEG. But now, you know, there were like probably 4 or 5 projects on this last year. So it's not science fiction anymore. Very cool. Very, like, kind of inventive use of... Looks like a lot of people are interested in physical computing type stuff, which is cool. But because that might... You know, they told me to do a workshop. I haven't decided, but probably I'll do one on next Thursday or something on kind of physical computing for wearables or just physical computing in general, probably. So, very cool. Great to see so much cool stuff happening. Okay. We're all here, right? We have 11 people here. Okay, so I think it's almost time for a break. So you can check out the rest of my code arts later. So before we go to break, I just want to give you a quick lowdown on the conditionals. And then again, like most of this learning is in the practice, but just want to give you that information so you won't get too lost. So conditionals is basically like if statements, like if something happened, then something. So far, we haven't done any of that. We just said like use the numbers. You know, to specify your color, your position, you know, how big your sizes are, etc. So conditional, I think of it as just the grammar. So if you think about the functions as the type of things you can say, right? And then your variables also kind of like is your vocabulary. Well, the conditional is part of the grammar, part of like, oh, if this happens, then do that, right? So it's kind of the rules for how things can go. So it's like the grammar of language. So very simply, it's very intuitive, but the idea is just you have if something, then something. So they call that the trigger and the action. The trigger is the if statement. And the action is if that trigger was true, then you do something. So if you're hungry, then I will eat the food. So if I'm hungry, that's the trigger. I will eat the food, which is the action. Otherwise, I will not eat. So, implicit in this is also, if you do something, then something happens. But if it's not true, then it goes to the sort of second half of your if statement, which applies when it's not true, right? You could also just use your if statements just as one-way streets. So you can just say, if something, then something. Finished. Or you can say, if something, then something, otherwise something. So there are kind of two different ways of using the if statements. So, what I just said. Okay, so I just want to emphasize that these conditionals are basically can be diagrammed in a flowchart, right? Because if you look at this flowchart right now, lamp does not work. Question, is the lamp plugged in, right? So if the lamp is not plugged in, you go and plug in the lamp. If it is, then you check something else. Is the bulb burned out? If the bulb is burned out, then you replace the bulb. Otherwise, you buy a new lamp. Yeah. So basically, every time you say if, then, something statement, it's implicit that there's a flow chart, like branch point. Because if something else automatically gives you a T-shaped branch point. So the other important thing is that remember that we talked about the different data types. There's floats, there's ints, there's strings, right? Well, one of those data types are Booleans, right? So Boolean, remember we were just going to say it's only zeros and ones, right? Basically true or false. In this case, the if statement is using that particular data type. So this is kind of an important and sort of tricky issue. But basically, the Boolean is what you put into the if statement, right? So for example, we have Boolean variables. This is why we use Booleans, actually. It's because we have if and conditions. So we have a Boolean that says, is hungry, right? So we set it to be true. Then we ask, like, if that Boolean, so whether you're hungry or not, is true, then you eat food, otherwise you don't eat. So in other words, instead of directly going into the eating food and not eating, you have that Boolean variable. This is why we have the Boolean variables, basically. Right? Okay. Is it kind of... Yeah. Is it too easy? Or is it not clear? Anybody? Is it clear?
I think the only thing for me that I'm struggling with is, so we set the Boolean as this variable x is a Boolean. So its outcome can either be true or false.
Yes.
And then later, we set that up before the function. And then later, when we're actually like putting a conditional, we refer back to x because it's the only thing that has come up as true or false.
Exactly. Yeah. So basically, The Booleans allow you to carry over that conditional to everywhere. Because now you can change that variable somewhere else. So, you know, as time passes, is hungry becomes true even though it was false for the first, 5 hours of your day or something.
Okay.
Then when you run that function again to eat or not to eat, this time it's gonna return true, if statements. If now is going to stay true instead of false, so now you're going to eat even though previously in the day that you didn't eat. Yeah. So the Boolean is the variable that you carry over so that you can use your if statements.
So we don't always determine if something is true or false. Sometimes, like,
both
words you can put it in over there, it changes on its own. Yeah. So like, how things move.
Basically, this all comes down to the idea of like the computer is stupid. Because if the computer is not stupid, they can figure out that you're hungry, right? But because the computer is stupid, it doesn't know before everything, a priori, it doesn't know ahead of time that whether you are or are not hungry. So therefore, it doesn't assume anything. So therefore, you have to give them a Boolean that you will change, and then when it's, or the environment will change for you, and then the computer, all they have to do is to read what that variable is and whether do it or don't do it. So, yeah. So hopefully it's pretty, this is kind of like fairly, I think intuitive things, so it's kind of, that's a good part of it. I'm going to get you to the break on time this time. So, logical operators are just operations on Booleans, okay? This is the only tricky part of this today, basically. I got your attention there. plus minus times those things are operations on numbers, right? On ints and floats, right? Booleans are also variables. How do you operate them? Well, basically there are specific operators for booleans, basically. Just like plus or minus for integers. That's all it is. So if you understood that part of it, booleans are kind of like ints, except they're true or false. And the operations that you have for booleans are different from the ones that you have for ints. Yeah. So again, here's one operation, right? If I'm thirsty and I'm hot, I drink water. So the and is the logical operation, right? Because there are two booleans here, right? One is whether you're thirsty, and then the other one is whether you're hot. If both of them are true, then you're going to drink water, cold water, right? So the logical operation is and. So this is very similar. Now it's a Boolean variable. So if it's thirsty and it's hot, then you're going to drink water. So if you're thirsty and it's cold, you're going to drink hot tea. So you notice everything is diagram using pseudocode. So again, good practice, especially when your code is very complicated. Okay. So if I am tired or is late, I will go to sleep. This is kind of a contrived example, but if I'm tired and it's not late, then I won't go to sleep yet because it's not late yet, even though I'm tired. Right? So the or is basically whether, you know, if either one of those, when either one of its argument is true, it's going to be true. I sense confusion. Is it okay?
So the second one,
and obviously they also apply to more than two things too, right? So I am so bad at examples for this, but if I'm in DT and I pass my classes and I graduate on time, then I will get a lucrative contract with Google or whatever. Okay. Yeah. So you can do more than one piece, right? So same thing with ORs, you know. So you can say, you know, like when any one of the many of them is true, you can now go on to the action. So it's the same idea. So it's very kind of logical, similar to how human beings think. We also have a slide here that's kind of demonstrating what it actually looks like. I mean, not necessarily in the computer, but kind of in life in some ways, right? So what you can see is that, so this, tell me if this is a little bit confusing, because this actually requires some logic. So the AND tells me that if this gate is connected and this gate is connected, then your light bulb is going to light, because the battery will be connected. So this battery is connected in such a way, I know we haven't done this yet, but this battery is connected in such a way that when this thing is in the circuit, it powers the light bulb. Okay? So the AND logic is basically you put them in like a serial position, it's called in series. Because even when this is connected and this is open, it's still off, right? You need this close and this close in order for this to work. So that's kind of, you know, you don't necessarily are required to know this, but basically this is what is happening in the computer, basically. Right. And then OR is different. OR is when either one of these are closed, then it's going to join a circuit. If this one is closed, you get this circuit. If this one is closed, you get the other circuit. Right? But they're both going to light up the light bulb, so it's an OR circuit. Is it okay for non-circuit people? Oh, lots of nods. Okay. And then, similar to those kinds of operations, you have these things called relational operations. So for example, less than, or less than or equal to. So the difference with these ones is that these are going to operate on numbers. So remember we said ands and ors, right? The most important stuff is not written on the slides, guys. Not written on the slides. So ands and ors are operating based on Boolean. So if the Boolean, and then a Boolean, and then a Boolean, then something, right? But with the relational operators, it's converting the numbers into a Boolean, basically. Because if x is less than 10, if that's true, so if x is like, say, 11, then it is not less than 10, so it would be false. And if it's x is 9, 9 is less than 10, so it would be true. Anybody, maybe I just made it more confusing than it needs to be. But basically, a relation, so these ones, like greater than, equal to, or equal to, or less than or equal to, or you know, any of those relational operators are just operating on numbers. And it's converting that relationship to a Boolean. So in the if statement, you can just say things like this. If x is greater than or equal to 15. And if that's true, then, you know, so if x is 30, then this will go through because it's true. That's all it is. There is a very, very, very big difference between double equal and equal. This is, I know. As soon as you see that, you're like, what? It's the same thing. This is the kind of, you know, I think of it as kind of like, you know, me going to Saudi Arabia or something. Like, it's just a different, you know, to machines it totally makes sense, but, you know, we have to try to understand what machines are thinking. So that's why it's different. So here's the difference, okay? So this is very important. This is the second most important thing today. So the double equal is actually a relational operation. It's checking whether, for example, a number is equal to some other number. Okay? So for example, when we say x is double equal to 10, then this will be true when x is equal to 10, right? What happens when x is equal to 9? What happens to this?
You don't enter.
Exactly, yeah. You just miss it. You don't enter it. Yeah. Everything between this, you don't do. Yeah. Yeah. So this is kind of clear, right? This is kind of what we've been talking about before. This is the double equal. Now this one is totally different. The single equal is making an assignment. It's setting a variable to something. Right? So it doesn't ask whether this is equal to 32 or not. It just sets x equal to 32. So for example, what happens if you do this? X equals 32. If x is equal to 10, hello, what would happen? Anybody? Yeah, exactly. Because x is 32, you set it to 32. 32 compared to 10 are not equal, so it doesn't say hello. Doesn't do anything. Great. Super smart, guys. So, does anybody have more questions about the difference between these? Okay. Very important. And then actually the other thing is, like, in your code sometimes you just mistype and then you'll be like, shit, how come my code doesn't work? Because you never said your x equal to 32. It just keeps saying, you know, x double equal 32. False. Like, it doesn't do anything in your code. It's just false. And then you're like, wait, why doesn't this work? So, you know, kind of be aware of this idea. The assignment can also work for Booleans, okay? Just to confuse things even more, right? So, here. Yeah, of course. Okay. Yeah, I'm not even confusing you more. I am not going to ask a question that confuses you, okay? So, hopefully this will confuse you, because if you're confused, that means you're learning. So, here. So this is what happens. If you're doing an assignment or Boolean, I can't believe you haven't done this whole session. Okay, so say you have a Boolean, we'll call it X, right?
right? So two packs, okay? Okay. So then x comes. Okay. So what if it says x equals to 2? You can do that, right? You can do that, right? It's an assignment. It's saying that x is always going to be true at this point. You kind of already did that. But you can also just do. Now, sorry. You can now say if, you know, x, then something, right? Right? But you can also say if x double equals to false. Yeah, hello. Do you guys get the logic now? Because x is a variable, this assignment is putting true or false onto x. But you can also, because you can compare your variables, use your relational operator to say whether it is false or it is true. Right? But of course, when you do this, it's the same thing as doing this. You can, of course, do also this thing, which I guess we'll talk about later, which is not equal, and this will invert this logic. So instead of doing, you know, so this will be true when x is not equal to false. In other words, when x is true, for example.
So the result
is
actually true.
Exactly, because it's not equal. So hopefully that was the confusion averted. But basically, these variables and these operators, you can kind of, you know, they will work with Booleans, right? Some of them, you know. Those greater than or those kind of things, greater than equal to, they work with numbers. But, you know, the equals, the like this double equal will work for Booleans as well. So as long as they make sense for Boolean, they work for Booleans. Cool. So this is just trying to say that if you have an if statement, you do not want an assignment in the if statement. That doesn't make any sense. Because this will be true. In fact, this is kind of for the more advanced people, this will just always be true.
Because if you're assigning it,
and it depends on language. I can't remember what processing, but like C or something, C++, this will just let you, you know. So just be careful, but you definitely do not want an assignment in the if statement, unless you're like just like kind of, you know, hippie coder who does these like really cool stuff with like one line, you know. Okay. We're kind of slow on time, but do you guys want to do this exercise or should I kind of just... So this exercise is basically to say, to kind of write down the Boolean expression. Unfortunately, the answers are already here. but I feel like this is kind of clear. I think you guys can, you know. So basically, you just translate the English to, you know, to the language of processing English. Process English. Okay. I think I'll do this after the break. So I'll give you guys a break. What time is it right now? Let's see. So let's give a nice break. Let's do 12 minutes. So it's 5:38 right now. So you'll be back by 5:50. It's okay? 5:50. And we're going to let you do your pseudocode prizes.